So bear with me, I just want to do two things. One is only the one point I want to make on Aruch HaSam HaRosh, and then today is Eitan Sevier, Rav Shalom's yahrzeit, and Mrs. Sevier did make a donation in honor of that. So I want to learn, I brought a piece to learn together, which I think is appropriate, about Eitan Alova Shalom. But I just want to do the first one point about the Rosh. So we're holding Rosh Lamed, and the Rosh, he spoke about Dazal Kavicha. The second half of the Rosh talks about the idea of being very, very personal, measuring his words, weighing his words. It should be easier to spend money than it is to get a word out of your mouth. A person should weigh everything very carefully. A person, when he speaks, the Gemara talked many times about the ma'ala, the power of shtika, the person keeps, is it much, and versus the one, a word is, if a word is worth one zuz, shtika is worth two. I've learned that the hard way many times in my life. When I didn't keep my mouth shut, then I had to pay for it. So, Chabad Chaim writes in one place. Just one of the fascinating things. Chabad Chaim writes in one place in Shmiras Loshon. He talks about the mile of shtika. It's a godly mile. He says, let's say you have a person who can't do that. A person who can't be shoysik. So then we have to worry. We have to come up with other solutions how to deal with it. So what if a person can't be shoysik? He says because there's a certain people that their nature is if they don't talk they become sad. So he writes such a lashon. So there's different ways that we connect with people. You connect with people. You know, we spoke about giving a hug, something of that sort. We all know that in the context of marriage, that you know that willing to have a real conversation with your wife is a way to touch. It's pashut. It's mamish. It's an act of touching. Because I'll talk about the nisr being marba sicha meisha because you connect to human being. Mamish connect through dibur. Dibur is a tremendous way to connect with somebody. There's certain people because of their tchunas and efforts, etc. They need to have that contact. They need to have human contact. One of the worst types of punishment in prison is solitary confinement. Right? The Kedush Sveikus in his Hakdama. He says that he gives this beautiful lashon. He says it's possible for a person to go up to Shemayim, see Maris Elokim. Mama, she be zeichah to get a revuah. Go up to Shemayim. He'll be shown all of the Maris Elokim. He'll be shown all of the different intricacies and secrets of Shemayim. If he can't come back down here and share it with somebody, his simcha is not shleima. Says why the Rosh Hashanah make it like that? He says the Rosh Hashanah made it like that because this way Torah will be nisraba because we'll share with people. That was his introduction. So he says I have so much I want to share. I'm not going to be happy unless I'm able to share it with somebody else. I have a chaver Baruch Hashem. He's quite right now. He's a quite well-known speaker. We were in Kerala together. Extremely outgoing person, a major extrovert. Like you know, when he would walk into the building, the apartment building, you knew he was in the building. You know, from the as soon as he walked into the back door of the building, you heard it in your apartment that he was in the building. That type of person. So he was obviously a very verbose person. Many years already. So he was learning in the mirror in Eretz Yisrael, and he decided he talks too much. Okay. I can relate to that problem. And he decided he's going to start doing a Tanis Dibur to control himself from his speech. So he was doing a Tanis Dibur, and he's, you know, one day, second day, third day, and he was doing it, and he was becoming majorly, you know, clinically depressed. And one day, so Aaron Chodesh walks by, he says to him, he says his name, he says, Yanko, he says, Nishtazoy. And he walks by, like, he said, Mamash, he said a grand total of four words to him, Reb Yanko Nishtazoy. Like, that's all he had to say, you know, it's not for you. This is not how you're going to come to your tikkun. There are people who need to speak. So the Rosh is telling us that a person has to weigh what they're speaking, and the person has to give it, understand the tremendous power of speech. But at the same time, it doesn't mean we're reminded but deeper. The Rishiva used to always talk about the fact that the Chabad Chaim gahat an ein redden. That's what Rishiva used to describe it. The Chabad Chaim was always talking; he never was quiet. He says you have to know how to speak, but he was always talking. So we think he was always talking because this way you usurp all the lashon hara. Because this way, you know, if I control the conversation, I get to make sure the conversation talks about what I wanted to talk about, right? Which maybe that's true. And then I'm sure that is true, but there's more important that the Chofetz Chaim was connecting to people. He was using that as a way of hechatimsa to connect, etc. I want to tell you over a story which happened. You know, there's a Muslim, we speak about Lashon Hara, we speak about the Isser of Lashon Hara, and we grapple with it different ways. So Rav Ham Zatzal said over that his mother was this big tzaddikus. She never learned Hilchos Lashon Hara. She never spoke Lashon Hara in her life. She says, how is that possible? She had such a tremendous ava for other people, and so this desire to help people and not hurt people, it was impossible for her to say anything which might hurt somebody. So it was a talada of her ava. So I would take it a little bit step by there. This is back in yeshiva. The picture tells yeshiva. Tells yeshiva, like, the only thing you have in the basement in the basement is building. There was no drinking in the basement. There was no eating in the basement. There was a water fountain in the building. At one point in time, somebody suggested to bring in, there's a gift called a soda pop machine, right? So they brought in a soda pop machine. It lasted for less than one day. Rashid found out about it. Yeah, you're gonna sit on the tire drinking your soda pop, and that was the end of the soda pop machine, as Rashid called it. There was nothing, right? And the Musik of Seder and tells Yeshiva was, you know, it was Kaddish Kedoshim, and we're talking about it, just talking with somebody recently. You know, and I imagine most of you, when you're, you know, people my age, right? We don't have off Shabbos. Tells you he was on this beautiful campus. You came after Sukkot, you stayed till Pesach. 5 months, 6 months. What do you stay? 6 months straight on campus. There's guys who didn't leave campus for 6 months. You know, you were shakua into the learning. So here I am, I'm walking into the, right before Shir, and I went to the coat room to get, I have, had a notebook there for Shir. I'm walking in and I see one of the members of the Hanhola and a bacher in the coat room with holding an orange. Now, what is he holding an orange? He went to Dor Milosader and got an orange. And he's eating his orange in the coat room. And this is like, you know, if they just like, and how to give you the musig, and like, this is like, you know, like, push it, it's a madrega under Ritzicha. You know, I mean, like, you know, that was like, it tells Yeshiva, the chumra of like that Mila Seder, go to the dorm and food, and it's like, ah! You know, like, and I'm wondering, like, what's going to happen? Like, his mazel, like, you know, he walks in, you know, and then right, the other side, in walks this Rebbe. He actually went to the dorm, he brought two oranges. And there's two boys eating. And the Rebbe chopped it, one bucket went and got two oranges, you know, one for somebody else. So he walks in, he looks at the bucket and he says, how's this? You went to the dorm and you thought about somebody else besides yourself. And he walked out. And I was stunned. Because the expectation was that what he was going to say was, you know, some major Musa Shmuz will go into the door of Mila Seder, or eating Mila Seder, etc., etc., etc. Or, at best, you know, you want to tell the bacher it's not acceptable, you make a joke. You know, you didn't bring me one, you know, something along those lines. And here he used his words, and Pasha the bacher was like, he was, the smile on his face, he was like uplifted, he was like, you know, wow, he didn't have to eat lunch for the next week after that, you know, the amount of sustenance that put into his stomach. And I said, you know what? The truth is, what happened was that the Rebbe had a tremendous power to use his dibur, and we all have a power to use our dibur to change people's lives through Toif. If that's really how we look at it, why would we want to use it for anything else other than that? If I have opportunities constantly to take my words and make somebody else feel good, and some way help them and inspire them, make them, you know, make their day a little bit better, give a smile to their face, why would I want to use it for anything else other than that? Like, you know, like it's such a waste. It's a wasted opportunity. And we have these opportunities constantly. So you can talk a lot, but when you talk, but if your thought process is, wow, I can use my speech positively. So Rabbi Horowitz mentioned this study by Professor Gottman yesterday. I quoted to my when I learned the Chassan and the Shalom Bayis. I mentioned this regularly. He says it's a fascinating thing. He says that he found that the ratio which could predict a stability of a marriage, the positive ratio is 5 positive interactions to 1 negative. This is what he said. He said that if you have less positive to the negative, we all understand, like, you know, if you're having, you know, more negative than positive, that's not going to be a very good prediction. It's going to be a good predictor of not stability in the marriage. Even if it's, you know, you need a balance. says, but even on the other end, let's say some person has 20 positive to one negative. Says many times what happens is that's in the, what's happening is one of the members is suppressing their feelings. There's always things which are not perfect between two people. So he's saying, it's always positive, positive, positive. Okay, one time negative. You know, why is it so many? You need to have the chance to be able to feel comfortable to discuss something which is uncomfortable. Okay, so you have to do that. But if it's done in an overall setting of the mesh is just constantly, I'm interested in making you feel good. I care about you. I'm interested in you. And this is done with whoever you meet, because we always have opportunities to do that. So it's a tremendous thing. My kids tease me that I'm on first name basis with the pharmacists and the CVS and with the tellers in the bank and with the checkout people in the store and I walked into the store one time, and the woman behind asked her, "How's your day? How are you doing? How's your day?" She says, "It's a hard day." I said, "Really? What's going wrong?" You know, this is this Goyish woman behind the counter. You know, she says, "My husband just passed away." I said, "Oh, that must be horrible." You know, and there's this whole line of people behind me. You know, this woman needed to talk. She needs to talk. I mean, the fact that she's sharing that fact with a total stranger is indicative of the fact that, she's spent the whole day with people, and everybody says hello, and they're nice, and everybody says hello, how are you, and my, but it's like my wife has the joke about, the person's talking on the phone distracted, hello, how are you, but it's been difficult, Aunt May passed away, Baruch Hashem, it's nice to hear, that's what happens, this automatic response, you're not really listening to what the person's saying. So the people are very nice. They say hello, etc. And I asked her the question, and we had this whole conversation. She says, my husband was my best friend. How long were you married for? I asked her, and we had this whole conversation. And I'm not sure the people behind me appreciated it, but this woman, I know from that time on, every single time I walked into the store, I tried to make my business to stop by her because she was needed a little bit of physic. And she, you could see her face light up when I would come into the store. Because there's some human being. Some person says a story about it. There's a person walking through Central Park, and he gets stopped at gunpoint, which that's not strange, right? And the fellow starts pouring out his woes. The supposed gun, the guy with the gun. It goes about 20 minutes, and then he puts the gun back into his holster, and he says, back into his pocket. He says, "I apologize for scaring you. I needed to talk to somebody." Now, is the story true? People pay, turns out the money to go to a psychologist to do this. There's studies done that the elderly people, which they're not good guests, they'll go to the doctor to be able to have interaction with another human being. They'll go to the doctor, make up an ailment, to be able to have interaction with another person, because they're all by themselves. Right? There's a tremendous amount we can do with just talking to somebody, noticing somebody. There's a tremendous amount of power that the deeper alone. So the way we weight our deeper, so we have to understand how valuable it is. Before then, you can start weighing whether to use it or not. Our deeper is so valuable. Why would anybody want to waste it on something negative? That's, I think, the correct way to approach Lashon Hara, is you have so much good we can do with it. It's a push it up. It's a horrible waste to do it the other end. I just talking about Eitan Alav Shalom. I want to connect this what you just said to that. Also, I want to do a piece with you that I brought about Eitan. So Eitan Alav Shalom. The reason why it's appropriate to us Eitan was a member of the Chabur, I think, for 4 years before he was 3 or 4 years before he was Nifter. Eitan was Nifter during the program. I wasn't here that year. Actually, we were in Eretz Yisrael that year when it happened. My wife and her are best friends, and we're next door neighbors. We live 2 houses away. There's 1 house between the two of us. We're extremely close, carpooled together, etc. It happened the Sunday morning. He was supposed to come learn with his chavrusa, Reb Chaim Bieberfeld, and he went out for a run in the morning to come back, take a shower, get ready to go, and he was found on the path. Somebody found him, they took him to the hospital, and that was it. So it happened during the program, and obviously, I'm sure that I wasn't here. I mean, I know what we felt like when we heard about it in Eretz Yisrael. We got the phone call. Mrs. Sierra called my wife. It was a very strange day as it was. We were in Harmanukas when we got the phone call, visiting, and then we had a chasna afterwards. We had a family, we had the Harmanukas and family chasna. In between, we got this phone call about Eitan being nifter. My wife, she had the phone call. She felt, she physically fell down to the ground. there in the she was just like Zois Mensch. We handled the shalom about her coming back for the Levaya Shiva, etc. And Mrs. Sevier said very, very chokmah, because I'm going to need you much more after the Shiva I'm going to need you during the Shiva. During the Shiva, people will be there for me. I'll need you afterwards. So don't rush back. Enjoy your vacation. We'll have plenty of time to deal with our issues. We have them generally every Friday night. They come to us. They come to us for the Suda, with Baruch Hashem. Eitan was a person who was not out. He was not loud, but he had a tremendous talk on how he spoke. He constantly used his speech to make people feel good. He was the secular principal by us in the yeshiva, and then in that position, in many ways, he had a unique position. He was able to influence many of the boys in a way which the Rebbe couldn't, because the Rebbe's supposed to say that line. You know, that's the Rebbe's job. This is a fellow who is his degree is in math. And a brilliant mathematician, his parents always were frustrated why he ended up becoming, you know, a secular principal in a yeshiva of all strange places. He could have become a major. He had a phenomenal power explaining math to the students. He was very good at it. But he really made a tremendous impact. He understood that, and he lived with that. And that was the point I wanted to say in connection with this. If you bear with me.